This is the Office of the Public Guardian podcast.
Welcome to the Office of the Public Guardian podcast. Here, we'll cover a range of topics to do with mental capacity, specific to matters in England and Wales. If you're new to this podcast, you can listen to any of our previous episodes available on Spotify or YouTube. Welcome to this month's episode of the OPG podcast. I'm Elliot from the communications team. Our topic for this episode will be about the Guardianship Missing Persons Act 2017, as we approach 3 years since the Act was passed and became law in the UK.
This is the Office of the Public Guardian podcast.
Claudia Lawrence was a chef from North Yorkshire. She was reported missing after failing to turn up to work back in March 2009. A police investigation began and her story became national news, but to this day, Claudia Lawrence has never been found. In the weeks and months after Claudia's disappearance, her family were having to manage the shock of a missing relative and a police investigation with the responsibilities of their own day-to-day lives. It was Claudia's father, Peter Lawrence, who took on the responsibility of looking after her everyday affairs in her absence, but in doing so, he discovered something. Claudia's financial outgoings, her bills, her direct debits and other payments couldn't be accessed by him or any other next of kin in order to keep on top of them. This left Peter powerless to prevent possible debt or repossession of Claudia's assets as her outgoings continued in her absence. The only legal route to avoid this at the time would have been to declare Claudia legally deceased, adding an unnecessary burden and further grief at what was already a distressing time. With help from members of Parliament, Peter Lawrence campaigned to bring in legislation that helped relatives of missing people deal with the same situation he was facing. 10 years on from his daughter's disappearance, and the Guardianship Missing Persons Act 2017, also known as Claudia's Law, came into force in England and Wales. Peter Lawrence sadly passed away in February 2021, but has left behind a legacy that will help families manage much better should a time come where they need the same support that he did. I've spoken to Mary McGregor, Deputy Head of Legal Services at OPG, about our newest role as supervisors to court-appointed guardians.
This is the Office of the Public Guardian podcast.
Mary, thank you for being on the podcast.
Thank you. Pleased to be here.
Can you explain briefly what the Guardianship Act is and why it's so important?
Yes, of course. So the Guardianship Act is a piece of legislation that was brought in when it was identified and recognised that when someone goes missing, the family members, as well as having to deal with the loss of the person and the emotional impact there, that there can be a financial impact as well. So that can fall, I think, primarily into sort of two areas. One, that a family member, potentially the main breadwinner in the family, their funds need to be accessed to be able to support the rest of the family as they had been doing previously. Or alternatively, it could be someone who isn't necessarily supporting a family, but have direct debits or monies being paid out, which they don't need anymore or for the time being while they're missing. So your direct debit for your Spotify, for your car insurance, for example, if those are monies that are still going out of the account, but you're not needing that service, the Guardianship Act, well, prior to the Guardianship Act, there wasn't any way of cancelling those. And they would keep being paid out. So the Guardianship Act, for Guardianship Missing Persons Act, was brought in to deal with that. And it's really one of the things that I'm sort of was amazed by when I was doing work and working with the team at OPG and wider to do with implementing this act, was the number of people who go missing. So it can be, I think the numbers are around 30,000 people a year in this country who go missing. Which is a huge number of people. Thankfully, a lot of those are found very quickly. So it is actually quite a small number of people where the Guardianship Act is even something that they would need to look at. And as I've said earlier, in particular, it's about the impact in respect of finances. So this isn't simply to declare that someone is missing. You're making the application because you need to have access to someone's financial services.
And to be clear, this is relevant to adults.
It is, yes. So in particular, I'm not sure how many children there would be who would have, I certainly wouldn't expect them to be it'd be pretty rare for them to be the main provider for a family. But certainly, you can only get an order for an adult over 18. And it's only in England and Wales as well.
So what about our role specifically is in the OPG? For the duration that someone is appointed as a guardian, what is OPG's role specifically to the Guardianship Act?
Yes, so we have two roles. One is that the public guardian will keep a register of all the orders that are made. And the other action that we do, and that we have a team who support guardians who've been appointed. So depending what the order has said, when the person has made the application to be appointed as a guardian, the court may say, given that this is going to be going on for a while, for a slightly longer period of time, we'd like you to be supervised. And that's where the public guardian comes in, and his teams or her teams here, that we will supervise them. So providing them support as to how they use their order, and then also receiving reports from them on an annual basis to show that they have been managing the money in line with their order.
And there'll be people listening to this who have experience of deputyships. And of course, we also supervise deputies and have done for many years. Is this anything like deputyships? Is the reporting system different, or is it a completely separate thing?
It's, I think, and I wasn't here when this first started, when it was agreed that the OPG would take it on. But there are definitely similarities. So with deputyships, that's to do with someone who has lost capacity, and the court appoints someone as a deputy. I think probably the main difference, apart from the numbers that we're doing, so with deputyships, we're supervising around 60,000 of those. With guardianships, the numbers are much, much smaller. We're talking single digits. At the moment. But the other thing that is different is because of the nature of the order that someone is seeking with a guardianship, they're often identifying the very specific access that they need. So it might be a situation where my partner used to manage paying the mortgage out of an account that is in their sole name, and now I can't pay the mortgage because I don't have access to that bank account. So in that situation, someone would make an application for a guardianship just to be able to access that one bank account, for example. So that's something that happens. Whereas with a deputyship, it's to help someone with all of their finances because they've been declared to lack capacity to manage their property and finances.
So in terms of the role and its beginning and its end, what is the process of applying for a guardianship?
So that's another difference between the deputyship and it was something that we did quite a lot of work because it's a different court. So with our deputyship work, that is a Mental Capacity Act, so that's all in the Court of Protection. With guardianship, that is either in the Family Division or it's in the Chancery Division, both of the High Court. And depending on someone's circumstances, depending on the reason they want the order and what the missing person's financial situation is, would depend which court is more appropriate. That's something that we can't really assist with because we're dealing with it when the orders come out. So that's something they probably want to speak to a solicitor about. So an application is made to the court. There's a process that has to be followed. It's set out in the legislation. There's also a code of practice, both of which are available on gov.uk, which take you through what you need to do. So one of the features of guardianship applications is that there has to be an advert to say we are making this application as the guardian of the proposed guardian, am making this application to become the guardian for the person who's missing, so that the person who's missing might see it or someone might know where they are and they can say, oh, actually, you're not going to need to do that. That's a different process to what would happen within the Court of Protection. The process will go through the judges, and partly because there have been not a huge number of these applications, There'll be a hearing, and the judge will want to know why you want the application, what the person's financial situation is, how long you want it for. Evidence will have to be presented as to show that what attempts have been made to find them and that they are missing. The court will then make the order as appropriate. And that's when the OPG and the public guardian will become involved, because then we'll be sent a copy of that order and we'll work with the guardian at that stage to explain to them what we can do to support them and to supervise them as well.
And at what point does the guardianship end?
So there are a couple of different ways that a guardianship could end. The happiest would obviously be if the person is found and they would come back. Application would need to be made just to confirm that they are the person. Otherwise, the order itself may be limited. So the judge may have said, when you made the application, I am going to put a period of 6 months on this order, or it might be longer. And then the legislation itself says specifically that that period that's in the order can't be longer than 4 years from when it started. So they're not open-ended in the way that a deputyship order would be or can be, but they do need to be looked at again after 4 years.
The term absence in particular is also used alongside missing persons. So the Guardianship Act states that it's for people who are missing or absent. What defines someone who is absent as opposed to missing?
So as with lots of legislation, there's the general understanding of a word, and then it can be defined within a piece of legislation. So person is missing under this Act, so to make an application in two circumstances only. So in both situations, the individual has to be absent from their usual residence and activities. So for this purpose, it doesn't matter that they're absent for reasons beyond their control. So a person being in prison would be considered absent from their usual residence, the nature of being in prison, but they're not necessarily missing for the purposes of the Act, because they're absent, but they're not missing. But in the case of the Guardianship Missing Persons Act, a person is both absent from their usual address and their whereabouts is unknown, or it's not known precisely enough to be able to contact them to make decisions. And that's the situation we usually find. You know, someone has gone walking, so we know they were in the general vicinity of where they were last seen, but we don't know where they are exactly, and they're absent from their usual residency. The other situation is much more limited, and that's where they are absent, but they are not contactable, essentially. So they may have been a victim of hostage or a kidnap situation, or being imprisoned abroad, where it's impossible for anyone to be able to get to them to be able to make decisions about their finances. So we might know with a bit more detail where they are or who is holding them, but we're not able to, or the family are not able to contact them to be able to make decisions.
And how long would someone need to be missing or absent before a High Court guardianship can be applied for?
Yes, so, and I think this probably comes back to what I said at the start. Lots of people are found quite quickly, even though there are a lot of people go missing. But before you're going to take, and the court is going to take that decision to put someone else in charge of your finances, the Act says that an application can't be made if the person hasn't been missing for a period of 90 days, so 3 months.
Mary McGregor, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you very much.
Thank you for listening to our episode of the OPG podcast. If you'd like to hear more, you can find other episodes available to listen to on our Spotify and YouTube channels. Subscribe to keep up to date, and we'd love to hear your thoughts in the comments on topics you'd like us to talk about in future episodes. If you want to stay in touch in other ways, you can follow us on Facebook, Twitter, and LinkedIn. Just search Office of the Public Guardian. Thank you for listening.
This is the Office of the Public Guardian podcast.